Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It is now 16 minutes past the hour of 9. Welcome to Radio Islam. My name is Muhammad Bam and I'll be your host this morning till 10 a.m. inshallah. Joining us online we have is Mawlana Zahir Ahmad Raghi. Mawlana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mawlana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And how are you, Mawlana?
Alhamdulillah, Mawlana, how are you today?
Alhamdulillah. We have a nice, bright, shiny day today.
Gee, Mawlana, I was also under the impression that today was Tuesday, Mawlana.
Okay. We also take this opportunity to say assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to all our listeners on Radio Islam.
Mawlana, we were doing the commentary of Surah Al-Kahf, and in our last discussion that we had last week, we were discussing, we went into depth of the words Iwaja and Qayyima. In Iwaja, we mentioned that the Iwaja shows that the Quran itself is flawless, Qayyima, that those who adhere to it will become upright. And this also shows that the reinterpreting the Quran in latter times, saying the Quran is outdated, this is not possible. Also, there will be no deviation and crookedness from the start and even in the future. And then we did that whatever impact the Quran had on the Sahaba and the people after that, the same impact can be achieved by us today if we take the Quran in its pure sense. There is also love and softness in the surah and the Quran. However, the values and messages will always remain upright. That is, the truth will always remain the truth whether people like it or not. And then we mentioned about Qayyima, the meaning of Qayyima, to stand up straight, opposite to sitting, to correct something, or to stop and stay in a place, fairness and justice. And then we mentioned that in conclusion, the word Qayyima, that no matter how much society deviates, this book will never deviate. It is the Quran. The Quran has the power to straighten out people who have deviated. And from there we started with لِيُنْذِرَ بَأْسًا شَرِيرٍ. And in here we said that there's a message of a warning of an intense war to come in the future. Mawlana?
That's correct, Mawlana. You want me to continue from here?
Ji,
Mawlana. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues in this ayah, لِيُنْذِرَ بَأْسًا شَدِيدًا مِنْ لَدُنْ وَيُبَشِّرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ الصَّالِحَاتِ أَنَّ لَهُمْ أَجْرًا حَسَنًا. Today, inshallah, we will have a discussion with regards to ba'san shadid, liyundira ba'san shadid. First of all, ba'san shadid is something that is very intense. Also, in the Arabic language, there is a saying about shadidul ba's, someone that's very brave. So here it a question that may arise, that this warning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about, and that the Quran Kareem is something that has no crookedness in it, it is upright in itself, it is qayyiman, it also keeps societies upright. And one of the reasons that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention, the reason for the revelation of the Quran Kareem is لِيُنْذِرَ بَأْسًا شَدِيدٍ, to warn against a ba'sa shadid. Now, this ba'sa shadid, this intense war or intense trial, is it with regards to this world or in the next? It could be punishment that could be in this world, or is it something that is with regards to the hereafter? Commentators have mentioned that whilst it does to an extent give a warning about things and difficulties about the hereafter, however, many commentators have specifically made mention of this intense warning of this war is something that is going to be experienced in this world. Ba'sa literally means war. And if you look at the wording of the Quran Kareem, and our listeners who know that the way we have been addressing this commentary, I would like to walk you through some aspects of the meaning of this word ba's. Literally, it does mean a war. However, it also has inclusive in this word problems that occur before a war actually breaks out. when the drumbeats of war have begun, where you find borders are being shut, shops are closing down, the problems that begin to happen and emerge before the actual war commences. There is a type of fear-mongering in society before war, and we know that in today's time, especially with media and the propaganda, the fear that is put into the hearts of people before a war actually breaks out. When in the middle of the war itself, you see tanks are rolling down the street, you hear the jets flying over. Another word that talks about this is the Ra. It starts spreading trouble. You start feeling the harms, you start feeling the anxiety and the concern and the worry before a war actually breaks out. It is a time of severe trouble. In fact, there is a dua that we are taught that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make. Allahumma rafa'il ba's. O Allah, lift and relieve us of the intense problems, or get rid of a war. This is another meaning of this word ba's. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that liyundhira ba'san shadeed. This book, the Quran Kareem, is upright. It stands to protect and correct, so that the Quran, the messenger, or both of it combined, the Quran and the messenger, is giving a warning of an intense war. I would also like to discuss something else in our discussion, that we do know that in the Arabic language, another word used for war is harb. So there are two words that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could use, harb and ba's. Now why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use the word ba's and not harb? And what is the difference between these two? The word harb does not suggest that any harm may fall upon you. If you are engaged in a harb, another word for war, you may be victorious without any harm befalling you. And we see this sometimes when nations who are powerful, when they have all the machinery of war, they generally do not really suffer much loss and they become victorious. So when one party becomes victorious and the other does not, the word in the Arabic language that describes this type of a war is harb. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he uses the word ba's, so when you are engaged in ba's, this indicates that you will definitely be harmed. Definitely you will be engaged in trouble. There is no element of being victorious in that in ba's. So in ba's, any party involved in it will be damaged. Every side will take damage. And every party and every people will be affected by the harms that accompany that war. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a reason why, one of the reasons that the Quran has been revealed, and more specific with regards to this surah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about, it has come down to warn against this very intense ba's, such a war that no one is going to be saved. Every person that will be affected by it will be harmed. Some commentators have said the word liyunzira, so that, meaning this book has been revealed, it is qayyim, it is upright, it keeps people straight, liyunzira, so that it warns, is used to give reasons. So Allah is actually giving a reason why, one of the reasons that he has sent down this book, so that this book could warn about a war, or so that the book could warn, or so that the messenger could warn. It could mean the abd or the book, kitab. Both of it boils down to the same thing, that they are inseparable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kitab, the Quran Kareem, and his messenger, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are inseparable. This ayah suggests that there are three entities here, or there are three entities as far as guidance is concerned. And all three entities are inseparable. In worship, we worship Allah alone. However, in guidance and how we receive guidance, these entities are inseparable. Jibreel alayhi salatu wassalam, who came down with the kitab, with the message of Allah, is inseparable from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the messenger. And both Jibreel alayhi salatu wassalam and the messenger Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam are inseparable from the kitab, from the Quran. And all three are inseparable from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is another very amazing thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala draws our attention to in the beginning words of Surah Kahf. That we need to understand that Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam is inseparable from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam are inseparable from the Quran Kareem, which establishes that the Quran is the true message that the messenger Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam brought to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And together the three, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, the Quran Kareem, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam are inseparable from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when it comes to accepting revelation, which we spoke of about the kitab, the Quran, if you take any of these three, any of these parts out of the chain, you've committed disbelief. Accepting guidance and learning the wisdom is through the messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very eloquently, very beautifully fuses all three. So the warning of this war that is going to come is from Allah. This warning is also from the Quran Kareem, and this warning is also from the messenger Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So it increases the intensity of this warning. It is like in our times, we would can give an example that when we see one newspaper giving one news, but if all the media in its totality gives you some news, the authenticity and the effect of that is far more intense and superior. In a similar fashion, in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has fused all three. So, لِيُنذِرَ بَأْسًا شَدِيد, that this Qur'an Kareem, and previous to that, Allah had talked about the Abd, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Allah spoke about the Qur'an, and all two is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this warning of a war that is going to be coming to mankind is from Allah. This warning is also from the Qur'an Kareem, and this warning is also from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah did not mention all three, but there was room in the language to capture all three. And this is the beauty of the Quran Kareem. So the Quran Kareem has come down, so Allah, the Quran, and the Messenger can warn of an intense war. But this isn't the only reason that the book came down. It does not mean exclusivity. In other words, whilst the Quran Kareem has many other messages and warnings and glad tidings, among which one is a warning about this very intense war. Actually, the Quran came down for many reasons, among which is the one being highlighted here, Ba'san Shadeed, an intense war. Allah sent down the book, and it was sent down for the purpose of a warning. One of the fundamental reasons and goals that the Quran came down and was revealed is to issue a warning. It follows then that if our relationship with the Quran Kareem becomes mere academics and we do not use it to warn one another and we do not use the message entailed in the Quran to warn humanity, then we are denying a fundamental goal for which Allah Himself sent the Quran, and this becomes problematic. We need to understand what I'm saying here is that this, we spoke about this in the past or in the beginning of our discussion, that when we talk about the virtues of a surah, and we all know about the virtue of reciting Surah Kahf on a Friday, and we spoke about this, that the virtue or gaining the benefit of the virtue of the surah, Surah Kahf, and the recital of the surah on a Friday is not restricted to the mere recital of the surah, but indeed it also requires deep thought and reflection on the messages that are contained and the lessons that are contained in the surah. And one major lesson that is contained in the surah is what Allah is saying, that one of the primary and fundamental reasons for revealing the Quran Kareem is to warn against this war that the entire humanity will be gripped by. And it is necessary for those who believe in the Quran to be cognizant of this battle that is going to take place, to be cognizant of this intense war that is going to take place. And this war, we are going to come to it, what does it really mean? So one of the great goals of this book is to warn of an intense conflict that is coming between the people that believe in the unseen, between believers and the people that do not believe. And more specifically, people who have placed their belief in this world and in materialism. This surah, among the primary themes that flows from the surah, Surah Kahf, is to warn people from belief in the secular world, from belief in the material world, the belief in materialism, and to draw this great distinction between belief in Allah and materialism. So this Quran, and now we are understanding the relationship of the surah with the trials of Dajjal. So this surah, and this surah, and this Quran is to warn people of that ultimate conflict that will take place between people of belief and people of materialism. The Quran Kareem, this book was made upright, and this Quran Kareem is timeless, and it stands straight forever, so that it can warn of a war. The fact that the book remains timeless suggests that its warnings are also timeless. It means that things that it is warning about are relevant to every generation. The Quran being timeless also gives us this indication and this lesson, that the things that the Quran warns about are relevant to every generation. Its warnings are always going to be applicable. It is the only thing that will stand straight in a time when everything else will be bent, where everything else will be deviated from the truth. The only thing that will be standing straight will be the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only thing that is going to be standing straight. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about, which means nobody else will see a problem except someone who is holding onto the book. If we hold onto this Quran Kareem and the lessons contained in the Quran Kareem, and we begin to reflect on what the Quran is telling us, what the speech of Allah is telling us, and we put into practice the lessons that are contained in the Quran Kareem, we will be able to identify the problems of materialism. We will be able to identify the problems that will face us before the actual emergence of Dajjal, and that time has already begun. So in order to be safeguarded, we need to know the lessons that are contained in the Quran. Everybody else will be fine and won't see a problem. So Allah says, the Quran was sent to warn us of a ba'san shadid, an intensely great, difficult war. The way in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has structured this ayah indicates that this war is unavoidable, as it is His, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decree. Allah says, ba'san shadeedam min ladunhu. This war is specifically coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is how Allah has structured this ayah. So it indicates that this ba's, this war, is unavoidable. It is His decree. Most scholars interpret this war to refer to the trials of the last days, the arrival of the Dajjal, and the calamities that will take place. There is no reason to take this ayah of Surah Kahf and say that this one place where Allah used the ba's, it means akhirah only and not this world. No. As I have said, the warning of this battle and this trial could refer to the akhirah, and some commentators have made reference to this, whilst majority of the commentators have said that it is primarily talking about a calamity that will take place in this world prior to the actual emergence of the Dajjal. And now we learn this close connection of this surah to the times that we are living in. And therefore we again reiterate the timeless meanings and messages of the Quran Kareem. And Allah is saying, مِنْ لَدُنْهُ, that this intense war is مِنْ لَدُنْهُ. It is especially from Him. So it must be some special war that can only be allowed by the special permission of Allah. A war, a battle like no other before. The Christians will call it the Armageddon. In Arabic, they call it Al-Malhamatul Uzma, the great terrible wars at the time of conflict between the Muslims and the armies and the people of Dajjal. This ties together well in this explanation, and the surah has much to do with the fitna of Dajjal. And therefore we find this close connection. Again, the Christians call and make reference to this, to the Armageddon, a great terrible war at the time of a great conflict between the people and the army of believers and the army of the false Messiah, Dajjal. Now, when we are faced with this battle, when we are faced with this fitna, and we have already made mention, and as we go along we will understand, that we are already seeing in the world that we are living in the emergence of the trials that will precede the actual emergence of the Dajjal. And if you see these trials, then recite these ayats of Surah Kahf. Reflect on the meanings of these ayats and put into practice that which we learn from these ayats. And if you recite these ayats, then you recite it to the Dajjal if he appears, and your recital and reflecting and putting into practice the lessons contained in these ayahs, inshallah, Allah will protect those that will be faced with this intense war. So, you recite these ayahs in the Dajjal's face. You recite these ayahs in the face of these trials. And you are actually telling the Dajjal, and you are telling yourself, I'm covered from this intense war. Which intense war? The one that is going to go on with the Dajjal. There's a context that is making this abundantly clear. It also includes all the trials that are going to befall humanity with the emergence of the trials prior to the actual emergence of the personality of the Dajjal. Remember, we made mention that the emergence of the Dajjal as a person is most certainly a fact. And together with that fact, it is also a certain fact that mankind will be gripped by trials prior to the actual emergence of the personality of the Dajjal. Another remarkable thing is there is another promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is being fulfilled. Judgment Day, Yawmul Qiyamah, has many signs. And one of its signs is Ya'juj and Ma'juj, Gog and Magog coming out. The surah, Surah Kahf, also has the story of Ya'juj and Ma'juj. It has the story of Gog and Magog. In Surah Kahf, ayah number 98, Allah talks about فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعَدُ رَبِّهِ جَعَلَهُ دَكَّ. Allah's promise will be fulfilled. Meaning, from the beginning to the end, there are many elements that reminds us of Judgment Day, of Yawmul Qiyamah, and the trials of Qiyamah in the Surah. This trial that is going to come upon us is so great that to be a believer is not going to be sufficient. And let me repeat this, that the trials that are going to emerge, which are already, we are seeing the signs of those trials, before the actual emergence of the personality of Dajjal, are going to be so great, and are so great, that to be a believer is not going to be sufficient. One must follow that belief with good deeds. And the Quran Kareem, and especially the surah, talks about the good deeds that are required, inshallah. As we go along, we will understand what are the good deeds that this Quran talks about, or the surah talks about. So the warning, لِيُنْذِرَ بَأْسًا شَدِيدًا مِنْ لَدُنْهُ, the warning of this intense war is being directed to all humans. There is not going to be a single human being that is going to be saved from this incredible trial and this incredible war that is going to affect every human being living on this earth, believer or disbeliever. However, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends congratulations, remember the Quran is Bashir and it's Nadir. It gives warnings and it gives great tidings. In the same ayah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives glad tidings, then glad tidings are directed only towards the believers. Allah says, قَيِّمًا لِيُنْذِرَ بَأْسًا شَدِيدًا مِنْ لَدُنْ. The Quran Kareem, one of the reasons for the revelation of the Quran is to warn against this intense war, مِنْ لَدُنْ, specifically from Allah. This is general for all humankind. However, when Allah gives glad tidings, وَيُبَشِّرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ الصَّالِحَاتِ أَنَّ لَهُمْ أَجْرًا حَسَنًا, the glad tidings that are contained in this ayah are for the believers only. And which believers? Those that follow the belief, وَيَعْمَلُونَ الصَّالِحَاتِ, with good deeds. What is the glad tidings for them? أَنَّ لَهُمْ أَجْرًا حَسَنًا, for them there is great reward. So, he who recites Surah Kahf every Friday will be saved from the fitna of Dajjal. All the incidents mentioned in the surah that we are going to discuss, inshallah, are talking about things that had taken place in the past. The story of the sleepers, the story of Musa and Khidr alayhi salatu wassalam, the story about the man who had two gardens, the story of Dhulqarnain, are incidents mentioned in the surah from the past. But the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that the reciter of the surah, specifically on a Friday, will be saved from the fitna of Dajjal, is a sign that the surah is not only connected to the past, it is very strongly connected to the present, to the present times, and it is very strongly connected to the future. The fitna of Dajjal is such a fitna that no fitna greater than this has ever fallen on people, nor will there be a greater fitna than this. And let us, for the benefit of our listeners, let's go through and walk through and understand what is really meant where Allah talks about there is no crookedness in the lessons of this Quran, and it is also a Quran that keeps people upright. The fitna of Dajjal and the fitna that will present itself to mankind prior to the emergence of the personality of Dajjal possesses such strength and the ability that it can make a person deprived from Iman. It can make a person mahroom, deprived from Iman. And the fitna can deprive a person from good deeds and righteous deeds, from amale saleh. No other fitna has such strength of doing this. And that is the fitna of materialism. This is why it is necessary for every believer, for every Muslim who wants to protect his Iman and who wants to preserve his righteous deeds and he wants to leave this world with Iman, he should ponder and reflect over the Surah, Surah Kahf. He should give special attention and focus to Surah Kahf. Allah says, Alhamdulillah, all praises for Allah who revealed the book to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, has many attributes, but Allah chose to call him servant, and this is the greatest attribute and quality of his. So this is the first lesson that we learn, that to be saved from this fitna is remain in the servitude of Allah in the manner that Allah's Rasul had demonstrated for us. Someone has beautifully said that after Allah, you are the greatest being. This was said to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? The lower a person considers himself, the more his status is elevated in the eyes of Allah. And one of the greatest saviors from the fitna of Dajjal is to remain in the servitude of Allah like a pure, good, sincere servant. Allah has referred to the Quran as Al-Kitab, meaning that the only true Kitab in this world is the Quran. The book and sahifas which were revealed to the previous Anbiya are in fact pages of this Kitab. Allah says in the Quran, أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا نَصِيبًا مِنَ الْكِتَابِ. The complete Kitab was given to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one speciality of this Kitab that Allah mentions here was وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ عِوَجًا. And this is the lesson that we need to reflect, which I'm going to now talk of a little before we conclude our discussion today, Mawlana. وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ عِوَجًا. Every other system or every other way that is presented to insan in this world to solve his problems, to solve his masail, to solve his issues, there will always be some sort of deficiency or something lacking in it. Only the Quran and only the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is 100% balanced, and it is according to the fitra, the innate nature of people. There are such topics that you can carry and on explaining, elaborating, and we can go on for months and months of talking about all the other ways. But I will just suffice with a few examples. From the social masail, if you take a look at what are the rights of an individual on a social level, many reformers spoke about many things. However, we find that many of the things that they have spoken of does not have in it that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has presented for us with regards to the lessons that are contained in the surah. And every other system has crookedness in it. We talk about the political system. As much as the slogans of freedom, of liberty, of women's rights, as much as these slogans are there, there is falsehood in that. There is deceit in it. They mean very good. However, if one takes a deep reflection on all of this, one will find that you cannot give freedom, total freedom, without certain restrictions. And when you give freedom without restrictions, then it leads to the one oppressing the other. Similarly is the freedom of ownership. the whole concept of communism, of socialism, was to bring about balance among societies. But the world had experienced and witnessed that the system of communism and socialism was, or it failed in providing equality. On the other hand, the system of capitalism, where it only favors those who have the rich, there is again imbalance in that system. The whole aspect of freedom for women and the women's rights to earn, Islam had recognized this right in the beginning. Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha was one of the greatest ladies that was engaged in trade. So Islam had recognized her right of ownership. But when this whole concept of revolution of women's freedom commenced, it was placed, and it placed much more burdens on women than what Islam had given clear definitions of separate responsibilities and separate roles for the two genders. And these are some of the things that if you look at the message that are contained in the Quran, they have within it an absolute balance in its message. And every other system, as much as it tries to give out a meaning of balance, there is crookedness in it. There is deviation in it. And therefore we say, the Quran Kareem is the only message, وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ عِوَجًا. There is no crookedness in it. It is totally in accordance to the innate nature of mankind. Qayman, and every other system that will be presented, the Quran will term it as false. And the Quran will make upright every other system. And therefore, this is going to be the battle that's going to be presented towards mankind before the emergence of Dajjal, that all other systems will be presented as better and good systems, yet it will have deviation, it will have deceit in it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the true understanding of our deen, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us reflect on these ayat of the Quran Kareem so that we understand what is required from us. Manana, this brings us to the end of our discussion today. Insha'Allah, next week we will continue with a more in-depth discussion of what we have just discussed.
Jazakallah, Manana, for your time. Much appreciated. We hope to speak to Manana next week, Wednesday.
Insha'Allah. Insha'Allah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That brings to the end of today's episode. Until we meet again, from myself, Muhammad Bami, and my engineer, Tufail Patel. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.